Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Beth, who is here with us in the middle of a visiting monk's day here at the monastery. Welcome, Beth.
Thank you, Jen. Can you hear me all right?
I can, and you are a little bit muffled. So as sometimes happens with our monastery phones, you might have to just kind of hold it right up to the mouthpiece.
Oh, that's fine.
Yep, that was pretty good right there. So, Beth,
Jen,
we thought you were, yeah,
I
Michael?
I'm going to encourage Beth to shout it out because it's coming in low.
For me also.
Okay, good. So.
No. Are you saying, Michael, that I'm also low?
No, you're fine, Jen. Beth is quiet.
Beth is quiet. Okay, yeah.
That's odd.
All right.
Okay.
That is
Go
odd.
Ahead.
Okay, very good. But Michael, no clicking, at least on my phone.
Yes.
So, very good there. So, anyway, we thought, Beth, you would be such a great candidate to talk about what's becoming a really exciting kind of a sea change, I think, that is just starting to happen in practice, that I think Sherry's alluded to it a little bit here and there in the wider Sangha, but I think we're going to start to hear about it a lot more, and it's really becoming a difference in how we are at the monastery. And you, having been here quite a number of times to stay for extended stays, and being here this time kind of at the very beginnings of this change, we thought it might be neat for you to speak about your experience of it, and that is this theme of really taking responsibility for our own practice. So each of us, yes, we practice as a Sangha, and you know, there's so many things we do together, and there's so many services that the monastery offers or that practice offers to each of us, and that where we are right now is really looking at, and what is the responsibility that each of us brings to the table in terms of our own practice and in terms of supporting practice for the wider Sangha? So I thought maybe you could speak about what you've seen about that in this particular stay at the monastery.
Yes. Thank you, Jen. I would love to. Is this better?
Yeah, that's good. I can hear you, Elise. Michael, please jump in if you're not able to hear her.
Yeah, I can hear her. It's just low.
Okay.
Okay. Well, to start out with, it's so like life that you asked me this question today because I just had an epiphany about it at lunch.
I love it. And I think the note was posted right after lunch, if I'm not mistaken.
You must have
sent
it. If I can give a little prelude to it, when we first heard from Sherry last week while we were here at the monastery about this sea change, my heart leapt up and I said, yes, this is awesome, a change at the monastery. This is very, very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably over the weekend, it was really more yesterday and this morning. So we got our assignments yesterday afternoon and went through the whole, okay, this is how it's going to operate so differently than how it was before. You're kind of on your own and, you know, encouraged to really look at what life's dropping in for you at the moment and to take responsibility if you see something amiss or if you have a question or if you, you know, or just bamboozled to really communicate that with someone. And so I heard this voice come in this morning, of course, conditioning, saying something along the lines of, oh, man, you mean I have to take responsibility now? Whining,
right.
You know, gee, I kind of like the way it was. And, gee, I really wish, well, what happened with, you know, blah, 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 right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I, of course, go back to cleaning the out shower. And I just focus on that and attention on that. And then I'm at lunch, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just in deep gratitude for, I don't know, the food, the scenery outside. I just was in this place of real openness, and I started tearing up, and life dropped in. What joy it is that the monastery is giving me this opportunity to really learn how life drops in intuition to me and how I can turn to that, how I can learn. You know, this is like the perfect, most loving, kindest atmosphere to learn mm-hmm. to turn away from conditioning and to turn to life. And it was mm. it was as if the monastery was investing in me that I am adequate.
Yep.
And
yep.
And that and I don't know, this sounds kind of odd, but you know, to finally be treated like an adult.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. You know, I think you've really hit the nail on the head with that, because it's such an interesting place. I project, and I'm sure, again, as I say, as we go forward, Sherry will be speaking a lot more to this and writing about it and that sort of thing. But I think what's happened is that a misunderstanding that many of us have had in practice has become uncovered, because, of course, practice never thought anyone was inadequate, right? I mean, adequacy has always been one of the most important tenets of practice. But there can be a way in which I think there's that misunderstanding, like practice is mom or dad or whatever. They're going to take care of me, or they're going to save me, or that sort of thing. And I just have to kind of go along with the program. And
yes.
to realize, wow, that's not only does that not serve me, but it's not going to work, and it's not nearly as inspiring and invigorating. And so that place
yeah,
of
I agree 100%.
Right?
Very inspiring
yeah.
and very different than what you encounter in the outside world, which tends to, I mean, I don't watch TV anymore, but I think of commercials and I think of advertising that treats you as if you're, you know, a six-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. Precisely. Right. That's so, exactly. And, you know, so then, I mean, very few people, a handful of people, really, in relation to the how many thousands of people there are in Sangha, will have the content opportunity that you have to practice with it at the monastery. But it's so applicable everywhere in our lives, because as you were talking about that process of working meditation, I was just seeing how, wow, that very same process can be applied to practice in general. Because I think, again, I mean, I look to my own experience, that there can be a sense of, okay, what does practice have for me now? How can I, you know, okay, I'm really identified. How, you know, what's someone going to do for me? And with the recording and listening, which I project is a big piece of what's created the shift, there's that, what's happening for us is that we have direct access to practicing kind of with ourselves, if you will, if that makes sense, that speaks to it.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, what started this, maybe part of what started this process for me of just having my intuition or my life drop in at lunch today was last night I went back to my hermitage. And I said, okay, you know, I don't know where we stand on guidance sessions while I'm here at the Visiting Monks, so I'm going to do one for me. I'm
I
just going to sit down, and I'm going to pretend, you know, I'm an enlightened monk, and I'm just going to have this two-chair conversation with Beth and just
I
see how her day is going.
Yeah. You know, that is so perfect, Beth, because who knows better than you what Beth needs, where she is in practice, what's going on with her, what's happened that day, you know, what's going to be of assistance to her. I mean, truly, it's just so perfect. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I absolutely so enjoyed listening back to it and just was astounded by the direction and the encouragement that came out of me that I didn't know was there. And, of course, conditioning is now all like, oh, don't say that, you know. Now the guidance isn't going to be there otherwise, I mean, from the monk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, and that addresses the next thing that was dropping in for me, which is that, of course, now conditioning will want to set something like this up and say, well, it's a loss. You know, I'm losing something because it's not how it used to be, and now no one's taking care of me, and I have to do it myself. But in fact, what we find, and you're describing this perfectly, is exactly the opposite, that when we all come forward as a grown-up and take responsibility for our practice, what's offered in practice collectively through that is extraordinary. It's extraordinary,
oh,
and we receive so much more.
100%. And what comes up for me when you say that is the idea of people acting as an adult, as adults with each other, and being able to communicate without the conditioned typical response of identification as a, you know, young one, or just as anger or as disappointment or, you know, whatever guy's conditioning decides to take on. But the power that can come through that and the, you know, optimization, I'll say, not efficiency, because efficiency is more of my conditioned identity, but optimization of, you know, really sharing information and taking care of tasks in maybe a in much less time or in a more fun way or, you know, whatever happens.
Well, and again, and we've been talking again at the monastery about how incredibly unique, how unusual it is for a group of people to come together and attempt to relate to each other in this way where, yes, we are a close community. And I'm talking about not just the monastery, but the entire Sangha. I mean, in a way, we're very, very intimate. But yet, to come at it from that place that you're talking about where each of us is taking full responsibility for the conditioning that's going on within us and not acting from that. And what a huge gift that is to everyone who's around us. And it's, of course, going to make any relationship that we're in way better, way more fulfilling, way more fun, way more everything that we actually want than, you know, trying to get something from each other.
Yes. In fact, just kind of projecting out that adult world, it just brings me chills. I go, wow, and the monastery is like the perfect place to practice that.
Exactly. And I'm excited for, I have a feeling 2015 will really bring that available to the whole Sangha. You know, I don't know exactly how that will look, but that process of, you know, we're a group of really, you know, amazing, compassionate, unconditionally accepting grown-ups who are waking up and ending suffering together and supporting each other to do that. Yeah, that's a chills moment.
Yes, and the only other word I would add to that description is conscious. Mm-hmm. Just conscious.
Conscious, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's critical, isn't it?
Yep.
I mean, that really, that's everything, is to stay present. That's all that's required. is to stay present, because when we're present, we are all of those things. We are grown up. We are compassionate. We are owning our projections. We are doing all of those things that allows us to be the grown up that we are in practice.
And one more thing for me, I know, shifting my belief about what an adult is to what I'm experiencing, it's the same thing as in meditation when I bring my awareness back to the breath and I feel the relaxation, it's such a deep sense of relaxing being an adult rather than an amped up teenager or a disappointed 6-year-old. Or it's this tremendous feeling of just, okay, you know, we're good. Like, we're good. We can handle whatever comes.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, we do have to hand it over to Michael, but that is such a brilliant point, and I hope, again, we'll be part of the larger Sangha conversation, because it's so different than conditioning, I'm going to try to be a grown-up. Okay, it's all up to me. Okay, I have to, which is the antithesis of what we're talking about, right? The actually being the grown-up is being able to say, not feeling terribly grown-up today, so I might need some assistance, right?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah, very good.
Wonderful.
Well, Beth, thank you so much. I hope you'll, you know, continue to be part of the conversation as we go forward.
My pleasure, Jen, and thank you so much, everyone. Sherry, Michael, Sangha.
Sherry, Michael, Sangha, everyone. All right, thank you, Beth.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night, thank you.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Beth. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Really, really, really well. And yourself?
Great. Great.
I mean, that conversation those gals just had, that just kind of, that says it. That's my really, really, really well. They articulated it perfectly. very excited about this this new direction we're focusing on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Being grown-ups.
Being grown-ups, taking responsibility for our practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just heard in that practice that relates to me, Michael, and practice that relates to the Sangha. You know, our practice in all of those ways.
Yes. Yes. In that non-separate way.
Yes.
It's a very concrete way of practicing a non living in a non-separate reality.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we add that responsibility but not taking control, then we get the all cells in the body of the Buddha. You know, that we're each here to play a unique role.
Yes.
And we are equal to that role, absolutely adequate, and it's ours to do. And as indicated, we can certainly, that includes seeking and receiving assistance and offering assistance, but there's no self that isn't equal to its life experience.
Yes. Yes.
It's very exciting.
Yes, it
and
is.
One of the things I'm most excited about, of course, is it really, if it doesn't put an end to it, at least it puts a big damper on the conversation with conditioned mind, which is all about everything other than that. You know, what they're doing and how I'm a victim and it's not my fault and I want this and why isn't it that way and it's, you know, I can't and it's too hard and they're idiots. Just all of that conversation goes away when I realize I'm this cell, you're that cell, we're all cells together, everything is fine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is fine. That's what we can rest in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great.
Is that all? Oh no, we have a whole show, huh?
A few more words to go.
Yeah, it's funny because I felt like after they finished talking, I felt like, all right.
That was good.
That was good. There we are. All right. Good night, everybody.
Yes. And no clicking tonight, so that's fine.
Yes. Isn't that wonderful? I heard AT&T hadn't fixed their problem, but it sounds like somebody has done something, so we're grateful for that.
Yes, yes. Mm. And I have some announcements here.
All right.
On October 20th through 27th, join us for There Is Nothing Wrong With You. This retreat is appropriate for beginners and old-timers alike.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Sherry, will be in Felton, California on Saturday, October 25th for a one-day workshop entitled How to Have It All.
Yes, and I've been hearing a lot of rumors that people are having a hard time signing up for it. I don't know what it is. It was hard to find on the web, and then it was on the Internet, and then it was people had a hard time with the navigating whatever it was. So if that's the case, people can always call the registration office. Call 209-728-0860 and talk to the guest master and get things taken care of, so not to be dissuaded.
Yes, that's interesting. I had no trouble signing up for it.
Oh, good.
So if...
Because you're an old-timer.
I'm an old-timer.
Yeah.
And got it. So people can call the registration office, 209-728-0860, if they're having any trouble there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's in the San Francisco Bay Area for folks who are not familiar with Felton.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
come
near Santa Cruz, near the lovely city of Santa Cruz.
Beautiful redwoods.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
And come to the New Year's retreat in Menlo Park and ring in the new year with support for practice.
Mm-hmm.
So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more information on these and all our events. And a couple of reminders to make Gas Show indicate your desire to talk with Sherry, press star 6 and then 1. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So, here we go, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Ladima.
Well, hello.
Hi.
How are you? Hi. I'm calling because I am doing something that I can't believe I'm doing.
I think I've heard a rumor about some of this, but tell us, tell
us.
Yes.
So I talked with you a while back when we were doing the Learning to Love Learning, and I was going to try and love to learn project management.
Yes.
And you observed that I didn't really sound very thrilled about that and asked me what I would rather be doing, and I said, I think I'd rather make documentary films. So that sort of opened a door, and there's been a little bit of a process involved, but I decided to take 6 weeks off of work and come to New York City and take a documentary filmmaking course. So I am here, and I'm doing this, you know, wonderful program, and have been meaning to call and follow up, and have called in a couple times but didn't get on. I think I called in too late, but wanted to definitely call in tonight, and because I'm at a point where I feel like I could use some support.
Aha. Well, first of all, before we get to the support piece of the program, congratulations. I mean, that is
Thank
such
you.
A it's inspiring in the sense that so often people have dreams and they just sort of stay in the dream realm because conditioned mind is so busy. The conversation is all about how you can't and it's not going to work and whatever. And you just went right ahead and that was the thing that you wanted to do and now you're doing it.
Yes, and I'm very grateful.
That's, yeah.
For all the support they, you know, kind of helped me get to that point where I could do it. So,
all right. So support now that you're there in the big city.
Yes, and it's quite a change from you know the cornfields or you know smaller town life in Indiana. So what I'm finding is conditioning is just waiting for me here.
Yeah.
Absolutely been cruel and unusual.
Yep.
Unbelievably so.
Yep. Can you tell I'm not surprised?
It's like reliving, like high school wasn't even this bad.
Oh, my God. Oh, that is distressing. Oh.
I mean, just constant, mercilessly. Torturing me. And some of it is, you know, I had expectations that I didn't even realize I had or assumptions that have resulted in disappointments. And, but yeah, just the constant, I'm not fitting in. I'm not doing a good job. How am I ever going to get this? How can, it's just constant.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a, not to put you on the spot, but do you have a recording and listening practice?
I have been not as much as what I probably need, but
yes, I
have been doing that, and it's apparent to me that I need to do it more.
Yes.
And
because you really need somebody in your corner all the time.
Yeah.
And you know what Beth said in the good news update about the doing a guidance appointment with herself? Or with the mentor, we could probably guess. That can be a fabulous technique. You know, at the end of you could do it before a class, after a class, you know, just find a place and have a conversation with the mentor and get some truth. Get some truth going on.
Well, I think the program is so intensive. It's, 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., and we barely have any break and in there. And no place to go and have privacy, really, not even the bathroom. It's with a private show. So I think I need to load up my recorder with things I can listen to at least.
Yes. Yes.
When I'm there.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I'm sure you know this, but I want to say it anyway, just as, perhaps as a reminder and certainly as a, you know, kind of information for anybody out there who might not know this. You know, the way egocentric karmic conditioning works is it's a story. It's a program. And it just runs. It runs constantly. It runs throughout a person's life. It creates the reality that that person is living in. It takes a long time. Almost nobody figures that out. Okay, just to know that. People were conditioned to believe everybody lives in the same world that we live in and that what goes on in our heads is true and real. And, of course, it's none of those things. But here's the thing. So you did what was, again, in most people's lives, a completely outrageous thing. You decided that you wanted to do something, and you arranged to do that, and you're doing it. If karmic conditioning, if ego, doesn't slap you back down, what might you do next? Yeah? And I'm going to suggest for everybody that that's what's going on. So I'm involved in this thing now that I'm putting out to a number of people. And it's just this opportunity to get involved in this thing that I think is a great deal of fun and like that. And I'm just, I am constantly amazed at the automatic no. No. Not, what's it about? Or, I'd like to find out about that. Or, that sounds interesting. Or, I'll try it. No. And, of course, what happens with that no is that a person's life stays the same. So the conversation often is, well, I hate my job, or I don't like what I'm doing. I'm not enjoying my life. This is not the way I want it to be. And some form of that is going on in people's heads a lot of the time. And then there's an opportunity to do something different, and the response is no. And it's unquestioned. Right? There's no connection between I'm not enjoying my life the way it is and I'm saying no to doing something different. Are you with me on that one?
I'm not enjoying my life the way it is, but I'm also saying no to doing something different.
That's right. And if people could see that connection, they could see what I'm suggesting for you, that you are doing the thing that is the most threatening to ego. You are not doing what the story says is your life.
I'm not doing what the story says is my life.
Yep. Did you ever see a movie called Shirley Valentine?
No.
Okay. Well, it's one of a number. I mean, there are tons of these films, but I can't remember any others to give you as an example. But the film is about the person who's caught in a mundane existence, you know, slogging along day after day, not happy, stuck. And something happens, and they wind up in Paris, or they wind up in Italy, or New York City. And their whole life changes as a result of that. You've seen those movies.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, and they're so amazing to us. They're inspiring. They're exciting to us. But they also reinforce that's fiction. That doesn't happen, even though it's happening to people just like me in the movie, right? It doesn't translate into, oh, my God, I could do that. You know, really, if I hate my life this much, well, I could just sell the house and go live on an island. No, you can't. That's ridiculous. What you meant to do, what you need to do, is stay in your life as it is and complain about it. Yeah?
Right.
So that's why it's beating you up the way it is. Not because you're doing anything wrong or you couldn't be having the time of your life, which would be a lot easier if the voices weren't beating you up all the time, right? It doesn't mean that it's too hard or you can't do it or that if there were a A through F rating system and you got an F, it still wouldn't mean that it was a waste of time or money or anything else. It can still be the experience of a lifetime.
Yes.
And it can still inspire you to do this same insane thing again. So then the next thing occurs to you that you would like to do. And you do that.
Yeah.
Now you're really dangerous.
Yeah, I think there will be more things.
Oh, yes. It's that, when you said about the cornfields, I thought, you know, the old song, how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris? You know, you've spent 6 weeks in the Big Apple.
Those cornfields,
they're not going to look that exciting.
Well, yeah. But the cornfields are home.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Yes. They're home. They're not a grave.
Yes. Right. Right.
They can be home base, but that doesn't mean your life is limited.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's what those voices in your head don't want you to know. That you could live wherever and be free as a bird.
Right. I think the things that the voices are torturing me with are the same kind of things that high school kids get tortured with.
Mm-hmm.
That,
what
like,
you're, wearing,
you're not fitting about? In. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what am I wearing? Other, you know, nobody likes you.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else's films are better than yours. You have the worst film in the class.
Mm-hmm.
So
standard self-hate, ego maintenance. And you know what would be fascinating, of course, is if you could make a film of the people who are hearing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I'll
of course,
you're
I
not alone in
you know
that.
I project that no one else is hearing that. No, I'm the
course.
Only one.
Of course. Of course. But we have a practice largely grounded in the fact that everybody hears those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everybody's busy hiding it, and everybody's busy being tortured alone in isolation. So that, I think that was a really good idea I just had.
You know, an interesting tidbit about this course, just as a complete aside, is that out of 16 students, I'm the only one in the class who was born and raised in the United States of America.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Everyone else is from either grew up somewhere else, you know, I'm the only one that speaks with no, quote, accent.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I can guarantee you're not the only person hearing voices of not fitting in and not belonging.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But it's maybe a taste of what it's like to be in another country, you know, to go from Indiana to New York and then be in a class of people from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yes.
It's like being in another, it's a little bit of culture shock.
Yes, and again, the experience of a lifetime, to just throw yourself into it and to realize, just to remind yourself constantly, all those voices are there for is to ruin your good time and to try to keep you in that downtrodden place so that you will remain a meal for it.
Yeah. All those voices are there to ruin my good time.
That's it. That's all they're ever there for in anybody's life.
Right.
All right.
Absolutely.
Posted,
thank you very much,
huh?
Sherry.
Keep me posted. I'm excited to hear how it goes.
Okay. Okay. Bye. Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks,
Michael.
Good night.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Ladima. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was a great reminder for me of the garden variety self-hate when we step outside the ego small box.
Yes. Yeah, and it's the I love it that she said, you know, it's like what teenagers hear, because it is.
Yes.
And that's a big clue for all of us, right? That it's talking to us as if we're 13. And that's about the age probably that got established. So,
yes.
You know, if we had a 13-year-old going around with us, you know, criticizing our clothing and how we talk and what we're doing, and, you know, we probably wouldn't take it as seriously as we take that voice in our head that is
yes.
able to make us feel 13.
Yes. Super helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
Sherry, we're going to break for a moment and hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be back.
All right.
The practice theme for this year is upping your game. We are all spiritual athletes in the game of life, and we can train to participate joyfully in the spirit of play. Yes, we are up against a worthy opponent, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. But we can up our chances of success by getting a personal trainer, a Zen awareness coach. The awareness coaches are guided by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching around any number of life issues or awareness practice in general. Coaching places a special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and from old timers that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. Since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to practice, getting a coach assists us to support ourselves while supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, visit sanghamarket.com, go to the services section, click on the little monk, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry, this is Zoe.
Hey, Zoe, how are you?
Oh, geez.
Tricky question?
Yeah, it is a tricky question. And I was trying to formulate how to, I guess, present whatever is going on with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about telling this little story of what happened on Friday. That basically it took till Sunday night for me to realize that part of the reason that this thing happened to me, or I don't know, whatever, on Friday, was because I haven't been practicing, because my practice has fallen so far to the margins of my life right now that, you know, of course, you know, why would I expect anything else as a result of that? And so I'm finding it very, very challenging to manage my life right now and practice.
To manage your life and to practice, or to manage your...
Yeah, like... So, you know, I don't know if you know, but, like, I started nursing school in late August. I think I told you about that. And so it's really, like, you know, I related to what the last caller was talking about, having, like, no time, you know, like, it's very intense time-wise. And I've mentioned that, too. And I thought I was doing a good job, but it just fell away. It just was just, I'm finding it very, very challenging to to have the time because, you know, to fit it all in is just very difficult for me. And I haven't been doing a good job taking responsibility for those times that are like the little in between times.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been doing a good job of that either. And so it's like a little resistance goes a really long way because I'm already stressed. You know what I mean? And so
that's a great line. Yes, I do know what you mean.
And it's just I don't know what to do. Like I left school on Friday because I could not stop crying. And I was convinced that I was just going to drop out. And then I kind of got talked back into staying. Part of me wants to stay. I've been very ambivalent about it, but it's just really tough. Like, my heart hurts from being, you know, so separated from practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of why, like, I just, you know, I can't. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should drop out. I don't know if I should stay. I don't know how to take responsibility.
You know? I know the answer. All right? You need to get back to center.
Yep.
Yeah? So let's look for a minute at what the reality is, if we could get to such a thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty far from that.
Yeah. Does it... like if we were to say something like in your more centered moments, would you say it actually is manageable if you were present? Or does it feel like, you know, this is really kind of beyond me? No matter how centered I am, I don't think this is a good fit for me.
Oh, geez. I don't know.
I mean, does it feel like you're pushed harder physically than you can actually take? Does it feel like being pushed physically is a lot of stress and not actually... that it's too physically difficult? Is it more mentally challenging than you feel you can handle?
It's definitely part of it was for, I think the first semester was the hardest, and there has been one day a week where it's not possible to get an adequate amount of sleep,
mm-hmm.
and there's no way around that other than to just not do it. What is basically being asked of you or of me or whatever. And so I felt like that physical, you know, demand was like, you know, I felt like I couldn't take it. You know, I'm just like, this is crazy. I'm too old to be staying up this late. You know, I'm not like 20-year-old college kid anymore. Like, I don't know. I think there was part of me that like did not appreciate that and, you know, felt like that was unfair. And then I didn't want to go through with that. And then there's another part that's, you know, more of like, well, that's part of this. That's very temporary. It's only a semester that part of it is going to possibly, you know, be so physically awful to endure.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's go with this one. What if you had somebody, an invisible friend, walking around with you saying, I love you, Zoe. You're doing a great job. You're amazing. That was really good. That's so hard to do that with no sleep, and yet you're doing that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in class all day. Like, I can't be listening to stuff like that and being, I mean, I know I could do it more. I just, you know, I'm studying. I can't do those two things at the same time. Like, I feel like it takes a lot of attention for me to get to, and a lot of time, actually, to get to be able to get to center, to really hear those things and take them in and actually get to that place. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's what everybody's up against.
I know.
Well, no, but what I'm going to say is it's just like in times like this, it becomes, it goes from manageable to crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, karmic conditioning is always angling for don't practice. You know, when you do have a break, it'll tell you, you know, what you really need to do is distract yourself in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's exactly the worst thing that you can do. But we are conditioned to believe it. So the thing that I would encourage, and, of course, you know, I'm always supportive of whatever anybody decides to do, but not to get talked out of taking advantage of everything that you've put into this so far. You know, because, as you say, you're getting through the worst part. So to give up at that point would seem a shame. So my encouragement is this. Stop feeling bad, because, you know, we quit that, remember? We committed to not doing that anymore. And begin a program of kind of what I was saying. You know, just hearing on a regular basis, you're doing a great job. It's really hard, and you're doing it. Okay? And it doesn't take actually any time to say that and to hear it. But it is a habit that you have to develop. So I don't know what kind of school you're in, but, you know, paint one of your fingernails chartreuse so that every time you see it, you remember to say something kind to Zoe and remind her of what a great job she's doing, and that you understand and appreciate it and know that it's difficult and it's temporary and whatever that is. You can do that walking to the bathroom. I'm guessing they let you go to the bathroom once in a while. So it's really developing that habit and taking advantage of those little breaks where you can turn your attention to kindness, away from the voices, to kindness. And that's really, you get double benefit. So if you could just turn your attention away from the hatefulness, you would be immediately rested. If you turn your attention to the kindness, then you get a double rest. You with me on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you stop the stress, and you feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, you know, if you can practice this now, when things are this difficult, you'll really put yourself in good standing for the rest of your life. And it is what Ladima was talking about, what I was talking about with her, that the whole thrust of this is to get you to quit so that then you can get information for the rest of your life that when it gets difficult, you're going to quit because you can't do it, and you just need to settle for a life that you don't really want because there's nothing you can do about it because you're a quitter. And if you get it through to put that to rest for no other reason than that, it would be worth doing.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That makes a lot of sense.
Do you think you can take any of that on?
I do. I really hope so, because I think so, because I think that's kind of what, you know, I guess that's the direction that I was like, I have to make this work now. Like, I have to understand how I can practice in my life right now,
even
with all this going on, and I have to be able to, you know, because I don't think I will last.
Well, and, you know, Zoe, the big picture of this is that you, all of us, okay, because this is how it works with all of us, you're meant to be left in a child position, wishing life were different, hoping something will change. You know, it's what Beth and Jen were talking about. You know, that something will come along and save you.
Mm-hmm.
But what you have the opportunity for here is to prove to yourself that you are the one who can save that human being. So when you get home at night, you know, no matter how tired you are, even if it's not a two-chair exercise, it's a left side, lay on your left side in the bed and then roll over to your right side. but you have that conversation with the mentor that says, you know, can I really do this? And the mentor says, yes, you can. Yes, of course you can. Well, what do I need to do? Well, you need to stop listening to those voices, and you need to remind yourself of what a good job you're doing, and you need to, and then you fall asleep. But this is the time to prove to yourself that you're not going to bail on her.
I know. It's got all these narratives about how, I mean, even just listening to the Good News Update, it was like the whole time it was just being listened through this filter of self-hate. And
yes, and it's time to say, no, stop it. No, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
You're not doing that. You know, you could practice saying what's being said right behind the person who's saying it. Do you know what? Picture that? So, you know, so Beth says something, and you say what she says right after that. Instead of listening to the voice in your head, reacting to what she's saying, you just reflect what she's saying. You might miss a sentence here or there, but that's okay. You've got your attention focused where you want it to be, on the present, on what's happening now, on the kind of information that you want to live in.
Yeah.
All right. And stay in touch, okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Zoe. Good night.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, it's great to feel the support of Sangha for all of us.
Yeah.
Feels like no matter what our circumstances are.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because we all get in those places.
Yes.
We all know. I mean, everybody listening and now and in archives or whenever people are listening, everybody relates to that. Yeah. God, it feels awful. You know, it's horrible. It's horrible to be in that place. And so all of us knowing that and realizing that and encouraging one another to get through it, that's what Sangha is.
Yes, yes. And I love your analogy. You know, sometimes we're the lead goose in the formation in the sky, and sometimes we need a little help, and it's great to be in both those places, receiving and giving and
resting up so that when it's time to take the lead, you got something to bring to the V.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. And we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now
Hi.
Live on the air. Would
Hi,
you please
it's Virginia.
Yourself?
Hi, who is this?
It's Virginia, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm off the speaker now. Can you hear me, Sherry?
Yes, much better.
You okay, great.
Far away before.
Yeah, I was trying to be careful not to bump myself off. Wow, I'm so excited to be on.
What's going on?
Well, let's see. It's been a very inspiring show so far. All of everything that's been said has been really, really, really helpful.
You could relate to every single sentence, right?
Totally.
Yeah,
oh my
me
gosh.
Too. Me too.
Yeah.
Both sides of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The being stuck and getting back to center.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And So I'll just share a little bit what I've been looking at, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
I have been looking at, like, not turning away from any experience that comes up.
Mm.
So, and I guess what I'm saying is I've been practicing just bringing my attention inward and seeing what is arising in me and not judging it and not having to fix it or change it. Just trying again, working, you know, working with accompanying myself with what's coming up.
It's kind of a simple sentence, and it's just the whole human transformation, right?
Yeah.
To stay with whatever is, to be present with accepting of whatever is.
Right. And I know we've been saying this for a long time, but again, I seem to be, you know, this is what it's coming to me. So I'll just say a little bit more about this, that, well, a couple things. One is, in this process, one of the things that has been interesting and helpful is I was working with the mentor with the sub-personalities, just having conversations, you know, when I could identify a sub-personality. And also on morning walks, I would have these conversations. And what came out of that was like a better understanding about how those sub-personalities got formed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so funny, Sherry, because before I always thought that they were these things that were kind of burdens, but I had to figure out a way to get them on board, you know?
Right. It's kind of like adults often approach children.
Yeah. I hadn't thought of that, but yes. Yes. And once I understood that, how they came about and what they were, I just understood, of course you feel that way, and of course you're behaving that way. How else would you, there's no other possible, you know, way you could, given what you were trained to do, you know?
Wow,
so,
that's a moment, isn't it? That's a life-changing moment.
Honestly, it kind of makes me feel all tender and, like, teary, because I had not, up until that, not that long ago, several weeks ago, I have not really seen those sub-personalities like that. And so just to be able to hold them like that, I don't even have to, I mean, all it takes is just bringing that kind of kind attention to them and understanding of, oh, yeah, yeah, I see where you're coming from. I totally get it. That
yes. Which, for anybody who's listening in and confused about this, does not mean acting out.
No.
Yeah, because aspects of the personality, sub-personalities, legitimate ones, don't.
Right.
Right.
They don't act out, but they have feelings and, you know, I mean, there can be sensations and emotions around sub-personalities. I guess that's what I'm experiencing.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And then when this kind person shows up and kind of shows them some kindness and understanding, it's like a great pressure is relieved.
Yes. Yes, and they don't, there's no longer a need to maintain a position.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, that is exactly what I'm seeing. So it's like nothing needs to be done. It goes back to that idea that nothing needs to be done, but with that kind of acceptance, it seems bigger than acceptance to me, but that kind of gentleness with them, then they can let go of what they're holding on to so tightly.
Yes. Yep. Because all any of us wants is unconditional love and acceptance.
Right. Yes.
That's it. Unconditional love and acceptance. Everything.
Yes.
Unconditional love and acceptance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Which kind of circles back to whatever experience is happening to, you know, see if I can bring to it just kind of the spirit of inquiry, right?
Yes. Yes. And the only thing in the way of that is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, right?
Right.
Because when you're there at center, whatever it is going on with anybody, is actually fine.
Right. Yes. Yeah, that is whatever is going on with anybody is fine. Yes.
So it's that when you say, I get it. I see where you're coming from. I understand.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Right.
There's peace.
Exactly. I know. That is the cool. I still can't quite, of course, the conditioned mind can't get its mind wrapped around that, but it is so elegant and simple.
Yes. Yeah. And happy.
And happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And so, Sherry, I'm kind of looking then at beliefs. I've written down, I made a list of beliefs that I see that I carry because of how it was trained, how it got conditioned and trained. And I'm looking to see where they come up in my life, like how they show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I just want to throw this out there for guidance and just maybe to follow, I will say that I'm going to follow up on it, is that some of the beliefs, I'll say, for example, let's say an orientation toward life that where there's an inclination to stop the flow of life or to keep everything stuffed down, kind of to keep everything flat and
mm-hmm.
stop the flow of life. That's the way it feels.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to show up for that with also some kind of equanimity.
And the belief is?
The belief, well, up until now I have not. I have approached it with a hammer.
So the belief is that that's wrong.
Yes. So the belief, there's two beliefs. One is that life has to be, the flow of life has to be stopped up in order to stay safe or to stay loved, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second belief is that orientation is wrong. Yes, mm-hmm. that causes difficulties and it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Which is really perfect, right? That's one of those ego versus ego places.
So okay.
Ego says, life really has to be, I keep wanting to use the word controlled, but.
Yes, controlled.
Yeah, so life needs to be controlled because when life is out of control, it's unsafe and things can happen to you and it's not going to go well.
Right.
And then ego jumps over to the other side of the net and says, well, that's wrong. You shouldn't feel that way. That's not okay. And then there it is. The match begins, right? And,
right.
Of course, attention goes to that, and that becomes the story, one of
mm-hmm.
the themes of somebody's life, and then they have to maintain that story and be in relationship with that and feel bad when it's going on, but believe it needs to, and
mm-hmm.
like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you can apply your technique that you are practicing to that.
Yes.
To just say, oh, okay, well, that's there.
That was a little soft, Jerry. So just to say, okay, well, that's going on.
That's going on, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that's one of the tennis matches that ego plays.
Okay.
I don't need to involve myself with that.
Right.
And then if there's a feeling of life being dampened down or dampened down, whatever is the form
yes.
of that, then you can bring conscious awareness to that. Well, now, do I want to do that? Do I really believe that, first of all, I can control life, and second of all, I should, and that life is unsafe as it is. Do I really believe any of that?
Yeah.
And so probably the answers would be, well, no, not when I'm conscious.
Right.
And then there's some place to move with that.
Right.
So I can feel the muscles all tightening down, my stomach's getting tight, and because I'm gonna control everything by my stomach muscles.
Right.
And then I can practice relaxing and saying, whatever it is, and bring conscious awareness to it and letting that go and proving that I'm just as safe as I ever am and begin to move through it. is, all of which is available when we accept the fact that, well, that's going on.
Right. Right. So because by accepting it, I step out of it.
Yes. That's exactly right. That's the crux of the whole matter.
Right.
When we're caught in it, we're in it.
Yeah.
And it's what's going on.
when we
step out of it, then we realize, well, that doesn't have anything to do with me. Now I'm in a position not to continue that relationship.
Right. Yeah, you're right. It's like that lack of acceptance is just like the glue that sticks it on me.
That is exactly right. A lack of acceptance, we could even expand that, is the glue that holds egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate together.
Oh, right. It's the energy that it's looking for. It's that juice that it needs to eat to survive.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Uh-huh.
Non-acceptance. Something's wrong.
There's something missing.
There's something that's not enough. There's something needs to be fixed. Something needs to be different than it is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the glue. No. No is the glue.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay, great. And I heard that what you said, too, about the using body sensation, relaxing the body, softening, and...
Just saying, oh, yeah, okay, well, that's okay. That exists in the universe, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I can be all right in a universe where that exists. I always have been.
Yeah, right.
So I think I'll continue to be. And then
right.
you can feel the relaxation around it, and then you can watch the story rev up, right? Back to the first call, you know, this is not okay. You're stepping outside the box, as Michael said, outside ego's little box.
Right.
You can't go there. Not because you're unsafe,
uh-huh.
but because when you step out, ego is unsafe.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I am so glad that you brought it back around to that. I'm so glad you brought it back around to that, because that will be the that's a very important part of it. I sense it's an important part to do the behavior that rattles it.
Yes, always. And our conditioning is so to try to placate it so that it won't come after us and we'll be all right. And of course, that's exactly the position it wants us in. And so just to start poking at it.
Just
walk by and stick it with a sharp object and watch it scream and yell and go crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my job. That's my mission.
Yeah, exactly. And as soon as we get over being afraid when it yells, it's so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for this guidance, Sherry.
You're
I really
welcome,
appreciate
Virginia.
It.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, yeah, great talking. Thank you both. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I think we're at the end of the hour here, minute or two away.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks for being here for it.
And, thank you.
Let's talk next week.
Yes, I think tonight was a success.
Yes. I think.
Let's do it again.
All right, good.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.